All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Second half hour tonight. We thank Mike Mullins for joining us, and we have on the line right now another Cavalier who's a frequent guest of the program and a friend, Ahmad Hawkins. Frank will do the introduction.
Well, Ahmad Hawkins is one of my favorite guests and has been a tremendous guest to the show and a real shot in the arm ever since we've been on the air. Ahmad played from 1997 to 2000, and Ahmad would have known Mike Mullins for sure.
That would have crossed paths at the end there.
Probably would have done a little weightlifting and a little laughing and teasing each other. And Ahmad, one of the few players that played both sides of the ball. And
back in the good old days when men were men.
Iron men.
That's it.
Played both
All these sissies now, you know, they want the defensive bench and the offensive bench.
They didn't
bench.
Need any energy drinks
I
or
mean,
anything.
Back when Bill Dudley was the player, he was, yeah.
In fact, when Ahmad went to the sideline, he said, just give me a cup of water. That's all he needed, I tell you.
He was on his special teams, too, you know.
Yeah, he did just about everything. Sold popcorn in the stands, too. Ahmad, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Ahmad, as always, thank you for joining us. And all right, where to start? First off, let's start with the secondary. You being the keen observer, Anthony Harris is playing lights out football on most every game. Demetrius Nicholson is out with a lower leg injury. Maurice Kennedy missed the last game from Verina. That was a real shock. And but Tim Harris played for the first time in really more duty than even the Duke game. And to me, he looked like he settled down some.
Yes.
And he's also from Verina. Just give us your thoughts really about the secondary and how are they doing as a group, and are they improving?
They're improving. Tim Harris improved a lot from the Duke game. I thought in some instances Duke tried to attack him with their best receiver. This game, it was a different receiver body type that he was facing. You know, these guys were 6'3", 6'4", respectively, 215 pounds apiece. So they were easier to gauge and read, and they were known to be blockers more than precise pass runners. So I thought our secondary did a fairly good job. I would like to see them get off blocks a little bit more, identify and recognize the run, pass keys. I think they can be a little hesitant in that area, and that's just youth and learning the speed of the game. So overall, the injuries are a blessing in disguise, so getting these young guys some game experience, and when our starters become healthy, we know we have depth on the back end.
As a former player, how frustrated are you just watching this? I know, everybody that plays Division I athletics is a competitor. Mm-hmm. So even when your playing days are over, you want to see the team win. How frustrating has it been for you to watch this year?
I think the frustrating part to me is I know the potential that these kids have. I'm not so – my frustration is not like anger, that type of frustration, but it's more of you want to see the program win, you want to see these kids win because I speak to a lot of them, I see how hard they work. But I also understand the youth. And they don't have that football IQ just yet on this level. And it's not a knock on how smart they are as football players. They just don't understand the concepts and the little nuances of college football and high-level Division I ACC football. So I'm frustrated because I really want these kids to win. It's like being a parent and those are your children. I think you want to see them succeed. But at the same time, I understand the progression of being a first and second-year player, being thrown out there and trying to learn and play at a high level.
All right, Ahmad. We just we've been sort of confused a little bit about what's happening with the offense. It's almost the ultimate chamber of horrors. And without me sort of recapping all the games like I tried to do last week, which was I got some teasing for that. But watching the offense right now, obviously Tim Smith and Darius Jennings have a lot of talent, and on Saturday they lit Georgia Tech up.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you is, I think we all knew that was there all year. Why did it take so long in the season for David Watford to find him?
Well, it just took David to have that trust factor. You know, to drop balls, to make a quarterback hesitant. And also I want to speak towards the receivers with Tim and DJ Darius Jennings. Mm-hmm. I think they really attacked their craft during practice. I had a chance to speak with those guys on and off. in the past couple of weeks, and just speaking with them before the game, I just had that vibe, and I could see it in their eyes that they prepared during the week as far as running their routes, being precise, understanding coverage, pre-snap, and being confident. And the speed in which they ran their routes were a whole lot improved. That created more space at the top of their route. That entailed David being more confident throwing the football because the target area was easier, the window was bigger. So I know David has some inaccuracy. He can be inaccurate, so that helped. If he did have a bad throw, those guys had enough space where they can adjust. So that's why he ended up going down the field when Tim made that huge catch on the right sideline going towards our hill in between two guys on that cover two.
Yep.
That, you know, that made David, his confidence level shot through the roof. And I also saw Coach Fairchild challenge David this game and tell him, would you stop throwing to the tight ends and attack down the field? Like, he literally just pulled him to the side and said, look, stop this dinking and dunking, trying to be perfect, and take some shots.
Right.
They did that. So that helped also. I think Coach Fairchild challenging him, and also with the receivers really practicing during the week, having a great practice, and mastering their craft helped him a lot also.
Well, clearly, particularly on that last drive that narrowed the score and then the two-point play and all that, that reduced the margin to just a three-point deficit with about 3 minutes to go, I thought David Watford played very well in that stretch, and he kept his cool. And I believe, wasn't it Tim Smith that caught that long fourth down pass?
He caught a dig route.
I thought that was a big moment for David Watford. Because
yes, it was.
That the game ends if that's an incompletion. If it's a sack or incompletion. And he put the ball where it had to be, and I'm glad to see the receiver make the catch, and then the touchdown moments later to Jennings on that little semi bubble screen out on the perimeter. That was a brilliant play and a great catch and a great cut by Darius Jennings. So I think the sky's the limit for Watford in these last couple of games because there's really no pressure other than just to get better, right?
Yes, and that's the key word, get better each game. And I think David has done that. I think he's improved just with his understanding of defenses. The game is slowing down for him. And like I said, with a quarterback, it's always easier when a receiver's running better routes. And
yes,
with that fourth down play, Tim ran one of the better dig routes that I've seen a receiver run because he squared the receiver's leverage up, gave himself a two-way go, meaning he could go inside or outside, and when he made that inside cut, he worked downhill. So the defensive back could not undercut the football, and David threw an Aaron Brooks-type laser ball. I mean,
yes,
he hit him square in the chest. I mean, you know, he threw to a spot, as you teach him, the receiver got there, and the timing was great, and the route was awesome. So, you know, they work on the same accord, and when you have that type of relationship, it's easy. And David does better when it's a two-minute type drill because he's in his element. He's going to attack you. But if it's, you know, he knows he has to hand the ball off and it's very methodical, I think he can overthink things. But when he's in a two-minute offense and the speed of the game speeds up, he just lets it rip because he's not thinking about anything. It's just he's reacting now.
Ahmad, one quick question before we have to let you go. And by the way, Ahmad is on WINA 1070 over in Charlottesville. So if you're at the game and you're tailgating and you got a radio, tune into the pregame and you'll get some insights from Ahmad and others before the actual pregame show comes on. But just real quickly, keys to the game against Clemson.
Keys to the game is don't get caught up in your opponent. Clemson, you know, they're highly ranked, a lot of great expectations. Been in prime time. You have to focus on yourself. Focus on improving. Defensively, you have to be ready to go against one of the better receivers in the country, one of the better quarterbacks in your conference. So you have to be very sound. And that's the main thing. Play four quarters, be sound, film study, and then just play football. You can't worry about the opponent. You got to play for each other and just play. I mean, sometimes, you know, in the media and as a player, you get caught up in who you're playing instead of just playing your game and let the game take its course. And hopefully we come out with a victory. But at the main important thing for this team is to continue to improve, because right now that's all we can strive to do is just improve, improve, improve.
Ahmad, we've still got about a minute left. What are the things, if you're a Cavalier fan, what are the things that you think Coach London has put in place for the future, and obviously recruiting has been going reasonably well. But looking at the program from Charlottesville, that perspective, what things do you like and are good building blocks going forward?
I like the cohesive players that we have. I love our recruiting class that's coming in. I think he's taking the right approach. You know, right now we're taking our lumps because we're very young. We're trying to get everybody to gel together. We need to keep this coaching staff together. We don't need any more turnover so these kids can review during the spring and touch up during the fall. I think a lot of fans don't realize that with new coaches coming in, it's a new system, new terminology. Now these kids are learning something new, and the coaches are learning the players. If we can keep everybody a cohesive unit and learn each other's strengths and weaknesses, we can build off this. I know it's so easy to say fire a coach, but you have to think about these kids. And the father figures that they look into these coaches. So, you know, I know Coach London, his job is predicated off wins. But at the same time, let's be fair and let's give these kids a chance to really, you know, see how this plays out in the next 2 or 3 years.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's the smart play. I don't think it does any good for Virginia football to even consider the alternative. I think this coaching staff was reassembled last year with Tom O'Brien, mm-hmm. and Larry Lewis and Steve Fairchild and John Tenuta, and the team is going to be better served going forward, and the fan base just has to understand this is one of those years.
They're clearly competitive. They just need to learn how to win, and as any player will tell you, that's something you have to learn to do is win, you know, beyond competing.
Yeah, I agree.
And I agree with that. And that's the one thing I wanted to say. We're not getting blown out. The Oregon game, of course, that's the top three team in the country. But if you look at every ball game, we've been there.
Yes.
So that's the thing you need to look at when you're evaluating a coach and a team. We've been there. So you can't say that we're getting blown out and that we're just not that good. We're there. But the youth will set you apart as far as when it gets to crunch time and the little details come into play.
Well, clearly the players and the coaches are still working really hard.
Yes, they are.
Well, Ahmad, we know you work really hard yourself. Well, listen, please stay in touch with us, and maybe here at the end of the season there will be some positive news, and maybe a couple of W's. Maybe this team might get into a good old dog fight with Virginia Tech and win that one. That could be anybody's game, right?
You know, that's the one we always circle. We want to win that game. You know, that's unacceptable for them taking us to the woodshed these past couple of years. But if anything, you want to make sure you do get a win versus Virginia Tech, and everybody will forget about the rest of the year.
Well, needless to say, it's been too long.
It's been too long. Well, Ahmad knew how to beat him. We're gonna recap that later in the year. But listen, you have a great night, and we're going to move on and stay in touch with us, Ahmad.
Thanks a lot, guys. Anytime. You know, I love coming to the show, and you guys do a great job.
Thank you. All right, we're going to say goodbye to Mr. Hawkins there. And
momentarily, we'll have Dr. Dalton on. As a matter of fact, I think he's calling in right now.
Dr. Dalton, keeper of the scalpel for you, Hobbo.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Hobbo's hip surgery one of these days. But I'll let you talk about Virginia injuries in the meantime with Vince Dalton of Ortho Virginia.
All right, we're going to tease Hobbo in a few minutes. But first, we want to thank Dr. Vince Dalton for joining us from Ortho Virginia, a tremendous supporter and a contributor to the program. News that we got updated just 30 minutes ago. We believe that Jake McGee's injury is still an ankle. It's been very annoying to him, and it's obviously affected his availability. Remember, this summer Jake was battling a shoulder stinger, which Jody Smith gave us some insights on, but now it's the ankle, and hopefully they can get Jake ready to go for these last few games because the Wahoos need him. Also, we know that Daquan Romero, his left shoulder is still bothering him. Daquan did play. Jake did not. We know that Connor Davis did play. Connor Davis from Deep Run, fine young man, never missed too many meals. We know that he had shoulder and knee surgeries in the offseason and is gamely trying to get back out there. Demetrius Nicholson still has a knee injury. Maurice Kennedy, we don't think it's a knee. We think it's an ankle or a calf or something down there. Maurice Kennedy has a medical issue. We don't know what that is. But he missed the last game. All right. So, Dr. Dalton, thanks.
What about ankles, Vince? What can they do about ankles other than just treatment?
Well, thanks for having me on. You know, there you know, certainly any number of ankle injuries. I think we talked about this last time. You can have the high ankle sprain where it really is a bad injury where it injures the ligaments between the two bones of the lower leg and starts at the ankle and extends up towards the knee. And that's a big injury and can really take a long time to recover from. Some of the simple ankle sprains, it's just kind of rest and ice and elevation and anti-inflammatory medicines, and they typically heal up pretty well. The high ankle sprain will heal up as well on its own, but it can take much longer.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a particular way that you can tape to try to prevent a high ankle sprain, or is it just one of those things that's going to happen because of the nature of football?
Well, I think it's more the nature of football. I think certainly you can. The trainers do a great job of taping ankles, and a lot of guys wear ankle braces, and that could all help prevent ankle injuries. But if there's enough force there, there's no tape or brace that's going to prevent the injury.
Believe me, I've had enough ankle sprains to know. You know, another player that missed the last game and has been wearing a boot on his right foot is defensive tackle Brent Urban. And I believe Urban was stepped on. Have you seen that type of injury, Vince? And also, what can be done in that situation?
Well, certainly somebody stepping on your foot can cause any number of injuries, depending on whether you're pivoting and moving at the same time. So if somebody steps on part of your foot and you keep moving, you can certainly tear all the ligaments in the midfoot or the ankle. Just a planted foot and stamp on the foot will cause just kind of a crush injury to the foot, but you can certainly break a bone that way. So it kind of depends on the amount of force and how far you're whether you're moving at the time of the injury.
You know, in many ways, football's good for you orthopedic doctors, isn't it? A lot of issues between knees and hips and shoulders and feet, ankles, the nature of your practice.
Yeah, we typically enjoy all sports, particularly as all of us get older, as long as we keep getting out there trying to play on the weekends. It's definitely good for business.
Now, Vincent, you're a former soccer player, are you not?
Correct. I played up until just last year.
So adult soccer, what do you try to help those participants do to protect themselves? Because it's very easy to rip almost every muscle in your body at that age, right?
Right. The toughest thing, you know, when you get up in your 40s and 50s and try and get out there and play on the weekends is not being prepared. And certainly it is good advice to try and stay in shape during the week. That's not easy for many of us. But I think stretching before the game, and certainly if you feel something tweak, you know, make a run and you feel something start to pull, you need to recognize that if you stay out there and keep going, it's going to tear more.
Yeah.
So I think that's the best advice is if you feel something start to go, it's best to raise your hand and get one of your buddies to come out and take a break and kind of decide whether you can get back out there or not.
Good advice, Vincent. Well, we've enjoyed your visit as usual, and we look forward to bringing you back here before the end of the season, and thank you for your support.
All right, well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Dr. Vince Dalton, this is our last commercial break this evening. We'll be back with the LeClaire-Ryan Play of the Game, the Olympic sports update, and take a look at the ACC schedule for the upcoming weekend. Stay with us.